Samaham sarva bhuteshu tamidvesho sinapriyaha deva janti tumam bhaktya mayi teveshu chapyaham. I envy no one, no, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him, although he's not partial. Prabhupada's explanation from Bhagavad Gita. The Lord provides everyone with a generous supply of necessities of life. He is just like a cloud that pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock, land, or water. Then he gives another explanation. Krishna is compared to rain. Trees absorb rain water and then grow and produce fruits. Some trees produce bitter fruits, and others produce sweet ones. Does this mean that the rain is partial? No. Similarly, regardless of a living entity situation, Krishna nourishes everyone equally. That's not purport, that's his giving a class or explanation of the verse. Then there's another nice example. Just like a diamond complements a gold ring, Krishna and his devotees complement one another. There's the diamond and the gold ring, and both complement one another. Here's Prabhupada's explanation. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified at the same time the diamond is glorified. The Lord is a living entity, eternally glitter. And when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Good poetic explanation. Then comes this enigmatic phrase, Krishna is impartially partial. And here, it's a nice explanation, very sensible. Impartiality allows everyone to become a devotee. That's the Paramatma feature. And then the Bhagavan feature, he shows partiality to his devotee. Pretty cool, huh? Impartially partial. The invitation to become Krishna's devotee is for everyone. And then there are those that say yes. And then those that say yes, they become introduced to or acquainted with the Bhagavan feature. And he shows affection proportionate to and of a quality like the affection of his devotee. That's 929, that explanation. Now, we already, last night, so I'm just going to go breeze through it quickly, we're not going to spend much time. When mercy was shown to Prahlad, it's being compared to unprecedented mercy, in that we've heard even the goddess of fortune and other great personalities didn't receive that particular mercy, despite the fact that Prahlad was born in a low condition. Padmakara Prasad, he got the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev's Padma. So we saw this. So I'm going to go quickly. Oh my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of hellish material qualities, passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you put it upon mine. So, we saw these slides. Everyone's eligible. The four types of pious people that render service to Krishna, everyone is eligible.
regardless of their material position. This is another theme of Prahlad. No material qualification required. No material impediment can be found. One gets causeless mercy through bhakti. We saw this. Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, thought that the body born of his father to be born of passion and ignorance, but because Prahlad was fully engaged in the service of the Lord, his body did not belong to this material world. And we saw some cannonballs yesterday. In fire, metal becomes like fire. So similarly, in contact with bhakti, one's material body becomes fully spiritualized, and whatever it may have been before, it's inconsequential because now it's spiritualized. That's the message. Now, we also touched on, this is going quickly because it's just review, the importance of devotional service. Anyone who engages in continuous devotional service to the Lord is situated in the spiritual world. Even within this body, one may be consciousness-wise with Krishna in the spiritual world. Prabhupada said that about himself. You may think I'm here and there, but please know for sure, I'm always with Krishna. Devotional service is so great, and when it is offered even by those born of low families, the Lord accepts it as being more valuable. Well, more valuable, we touched on this question. The Prabhupada's statement from the purport, more valuable than the service offered by the goddess of fortunes. But anyway, loving service. Devotees enjoy life under any circumstances. Paratak svartak karma taha. Madhvacharya, commentary from Brahmatarka. Its reference, we made this comment yesterday, its reference to an earlier verse where Prahlad is speaking to Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu wanted to know, what's the best thing that you've learned? And Prahlad gave a very blunt answer, my dear father, you won't be able to understand. Persons who are absorbed in the bodily conception of life, thinking I and mine like you, you're not going to understand the best thing, the best piece of knowledge, either by your own effort, by other people helping you, or a combination. You're a hopeless case, basically. But conversely, for devotee, under any circumstances, life is transcendentally satisfying, pleasing. So now that was review. Now down to business. The impartial and benedictory nature of the Lord. That's, we're going to cover 27, 28, 29. So, Sevanu Rupam is underlined and highlighted in big letters, and it's, so it's according to one's position of service. There's reciprocation. Here's the translation. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies. This is Paramatma, by the way. The favorable and the unfavorable, because for you, there is no conception of higher and lower. Now, there's higher and lower modes of nature. There's higher and lower forms of life, just like depicted here. The dog, pig, the demigod, and the residents of Vrindavan. There's higher and lower states of existence. And depending upon one's activity in this life, one will get a destination in the next life. So there's higher and lower in a relative sense. But in an absolute sense, the soul is connected to Krishna. And there's the sama idea. Nevertheless, you offer benedictions according to the level of one's service. Sevanarupam. Exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. Isn't that a nice drawing of a desire tree? So, a desire tree, kalpa vriksha, vriksha means tree, and kalpa means desire. So in the spiritual world, there's desire trees. It's right in the Brahma Samhita prayers that we recite regularly. Kalpa vriksha lakshavrati surabhira vipalayantam. The trees here, poor trees in the cold weather right now. Ooh. But in season, the trees give one kind of fruit during a particular time of the year. But in the kalpa vriksha trees, all seasons, all kinds of fruit of any variety without limit. That's a desire. And not just fruits, anything. That's a desire tree. So, Krishna giving benedictions is exactly like the desire tree. He's not favoring this one and not favoring that one. It depends on what they want from the desire tree. So Krishna's like that. Prabhupada's purport, quoting from Bhagavad Gita. The Lord clearly says, Yayatam mam prapadyante tang sataiva pajam yaham. As one surrenders to me, I reward him accordingly. So Draupadi surrendered to Krishna one way. Putana, well, didn't exactly surrender to Krishna, but she ended up surrendering to Krishna. And there's our friend Shishupal, who is blaspheming Krishna and met with Sudarshan Chakra. So one's relationship, here's the seva anurupam term that was underlined. One's relationship with the Supreme Lord is in proportion to the surrender and the service. So there's different relationships. There's relationships of the cows, relationships of Mother Jasoda, the cowherd boys, the florist who is offering Krishna a garland. And these are all different residences and different relationships according to the, and in proportion to the service and surrender of each living entity. So, that's Krishna. He's equal to everyone. In the spiritual realm and even in this material realm. Prabhupada writes, again this is from the purport, one's position is determined by one's desires. The Lord is not responsible for the higher and lower grades of our existence. So this image is showing there's some who worship Uma to get a good husband-wife, those who worship the sun god to get good health, those who worship the goddess of knowledge, Saraswati, to get good education. And according to one's desires, some destination or some condition of life is awarded. But it's not in Krishna's hand which of the desires we desire. Reference is being made here to Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Anyone know that verse? Huh? Say it a little louder so everyone can hear. Yeah. Sadasadyoni janmasu. So the first part is, I'll say it in the microphone so you can hear. Purusha refers to the living entity who is taking the position of imitation Purusha, the enjoyer of Prakriti. Purusha Prakriti Sto he. Prakriti sta is situated within Prakriti, trying to be the enjoyer of Prakriti. Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bhunte Prakriti Jan Gunan. When takes on qualities like that mode of nature it's trying to be the enjoyer of, and then Karanam Guna Sangosha Sad Asad Sad Asad Yoni Janmasu. One gets the good and bad results according to that association one keeps with Prakriti, trying to be the enjoyer. So Prabhupada, we're really the architect of our own destiny, is Prabhupada's explanation in the purport. We can't pin the blame on Krishna. Why did I get this destiny? We desire, and or at least our actions followed a certain path that led to a certain consequence. And so we're responsible. Not Krishna's, he's not favoring one, disfavoring another, he's reciprocating. Our position is determined by one's desires. The way in which we associate with material nature. If one is interested in returning home back to Godhead, he can be promoted there also, according to the demands of a particular devotee. He receives a result by the grace of the Lord. He's neutral. That's the topic. Whether one is without desire, this is the Bhagavatam verse from Canto 2, Akama, who knows the verse? Sarvakamova, Mokshakama, Udaradi, Divrena Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta Purusham Param. So whether one's desires are akama, free from material desire, sakama, filled with material desire, moksha kama, desiring liberation, whatever your position, one thing, tivra bhakti. For complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Just two more verses and we're done. How to approach and serve the Lord. If that's the position, how we regard Krishna, how do we do that? Approaching Krishna properly or the best way. Here is the next prayer. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace, but your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? We discussed. Tava Britya Sevam. This word Britya. Menial servant. Let me just be Narada's servant. He's rescued me from this material condition. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. Prabhupada quotes, this is a statement by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the position of the living entity. It's Dasa Dasa Anudas, the servant of the servant of the servant. One should serve the spiritual master first, and by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to serve the Lord. And so it happened with Dhruva. Similarly, Narada became the spiritual master of Dhruva. And by Narada's benedicting, giving mercy to Dhruva, he saw the Supreme Lord. His all desires were fulfilled. Even the ones that he went beyond, the material ones, the wanting a big kingdom and so forth. Prabhupada writes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. So he knows what's good for him. He knoweth that the position of bhakti, he's repeated it now several times, but the position of bhakti, please, not the position of some material acquisition, not interested. It's no place of shelter. I just want the shelter of the Supreme Personality, Godhead, which Narada can give. So, Prabhupada's explaining further. One must be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. It's very clear. Narada is Prahlad is exemplifying the teaching, and the teaching is something that occurs again and again. This is from the last line. So hum katam nu visraje tava vrichasevam. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master who has favored me in such a way that I'm now able to see you face to face? Then he's speaking as if the Lord is testing him or enticing him or wanting to give him something material. He's not asking Prahlad to give up Narada's association. But Narada's indirectly saying, if I get something material, I'm the son of Rani Kashipu. I'll try to be the enjoyer of it. Although I know I shouldn't. I know I'm not attracted, but give me something material. I may leave the association of Narada, so please don't give me something material. He's avoiding it. He wanted simply to continue in the association with Narada. Here's three illustrations where Narada is instructing Kayadu in her state of pregnancy, so Prahlad is hearing. And now he's over here, having received the mercy of Narada, he's seeing the Supreme Lord face to face, and over here is Prahlad offering Narada a nice garland. Of course, most of the paintings show Prahlad offering Lord Nrisimhadeva garland, but he liked giving garlands, so he gives one to Narada Muni also. That's his anchoring, being in this service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains it this way. This is the Lord speaking. You have said that service to me is the cause of my mercy to you. You have excluded favoritism by the example of the desire tree. But what's the cause of the service? Nice, huh? Service is the cause of mercy. And favoritism isn't the cause of the service. What's the cause of the service? Narada Muni. Following persons with concepts of high and low, filled with all desires, who have fallen into the material snake hole, I've also fallen by their association. I've been accepted by Narada, who is maybe his own possession. Let this jiva be mine. By force he has taken me by the hand, brought me near to him, taught me the king of mantras, and had me serve him. Having fallen in the hole of samsara, I've now become your devotee. Without his mercy, this was not possible. How can I give up the service to my guru, your servant? The karmis and gyanis, on attaining their goal, give up the sadhana. I cannot be like that. On the path of bhakti, when the sadhana gives result, the devotee who attained the Lord, such as Dhruva, still had a desire for sadhana in associating with devotees and other processes. So finally, the Nrisimhadeva's bhakta-vatsala quality. So he's not partial, rather, by his nature, he's merciful. And he's, in a very natural way, he's merciful to his devotee, to the bhakta, because the bhakta has regard for him. Prabhupada explains it like this. If someone approaches Krishna and says, you're my enemy, Krishna will reply, oh, you would like me to be your enemy? Then I'll be your enemy. And the devotee approaches and says, I'd like to be your servant. Oh, you'd like to be my servant? Then very well, we'll have that relationship. He's neutral. And according to the regard that one has for Krishna, then, or Lord Nrisimhadev, he'll reciprocate. So Hrani Kashyapu saw him as an enemy. Okay, I'll be your enemy. I won't be inimical toward you, but if you want me to be your enemy, I'll be your enemy. That's just fine with me. And you want me to be your master? That's just fine with me. I'll be your master. You have affection for me? That's really nice. I'll have affection for you. But it's not like play acting kind of thing. It's genuine affection. So, here's the verse. Manye sva vritya rishi vakyam vritam vidhatum. Oh my Lord, oh unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities. You have killed my father Hiranyakashipu and saved me from his sword. He said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and killing him, you have asked me just to prove true the words of your devotee. So he's going to explain. The commentary is going to explain. Proving the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. So here's the words of the devotee. Narada gave assurance that Prahlad would always be saved from the enemy's hands. That's he spoke that to Kayadu. This is Kayadu. When Hiranyakashipu had gone to the forest to do his austerities for a long time, the demigods came to know. So when he was away, the demigods took the opportunity to go get their kingdom back, because Hiranyakashipu had taken over the kingdom. And when they went into the palace, they saw Kayadu, who was pregnant. And they thought, whoa, here's the child of Hiranyakashipu in the womb of this woman. So we should keep her safely, so that when the child is born, the child of Hiranyakashipu, we can destroy that living entity. But Narada appeared right on time and stopped them and brought Kayadu instead to his ashram. And he spoke. He gave this assurance. Narada Muni assured that Prahlad Maharaj would always be saved from the enemy's hands. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, the killing of Hiranyakashipu and the saving of Prahlad were enacted simultaneously to prove the truthfulness of the Lord's devotee, Narada, and the fidelity of the Lord himself to his own purpose. The Lord acts only to satisfy the desires of his devotees, otherwise he has nothing to do. Nice painting of Lord Nrisimhadev. Looks very happy. Quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate. The Lord has nothing to do personally, for everything is done through his different potencies. This is how we understand. He does, but he does not do. Like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he has created these four divisions, Chaturvarnamaya Srishtam. But then I'm the non-doer. I do, but I don't do. So he doesn't do because his potencies do. But his potencies do, so everything gets done that way. And he has unlimited potencies. Transcendental. Parasha Shakti Vividaiva Shoyate. And Vishwanath? explains this way. Since you are under the control of your devotee, your mercy to people simply follows the mercy of the devotee. You are not merciful to those who do not take shelter of the devotees. I'm not an exception. By the request of your devotee, you are merciful to all. That is expressed in this verse. Prahlad's indicating, I think you will kill my father to make the words of Narada come true. When my mother prayed to Narada, he gave the blessing. Your son will create good fortune by destroying the demons. This is many exchanges we hear little by little. Many exchanges took place while Kayadu was in the ashram. Now we're hearing three things. Well, there are three things minimally. One, your son will always be protected from enemies. Two, your son will create good fortune by destroying the demons. And three, she requested Narada's benediction that Prahlad not be born until Hiranyakashipu returned. So those three benedictions from Narada. Now, where does the power of Narada come from? From Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu upholds the word of his devotee. That makes the devotee very powerful. The Lord. I think you protected me since my father, desiring to kill me, said, I will cut off your head. Just as you protected me from the snakes and elephants, it was not possible for him to kill me by his hand. You killed him. Though the Lord is equal everywhere, he has the quality of being controlled by his devotee, Narada. It's one of his qualities. This is his bhaktavatsala quality. This is the point of this little section. But when he personally does something, it is only to satisfy his devotee. He very much favors his devotee's servant as bhaktavatsala. Bhaktavatsala. It's one of the most outstanding, if not the most outstanding quality of the personality of Godhead. And there's many, many, many exceptions. And he'll always, you can count on it. He's free. There's no restraint or control on him, except it's his own quality that you can predict. He'll protect his devotee. Just two little examples and we'll end. Because we discussed this already. I like it very much. When Grandfather Bhishma was cheated or tricked by Krishna to break his promise, he who never breaks his promise had to break his promise. Because he took a promise, took a vow, that he, with five arrows, he would kill the Pandavas. And by Krishna's cleverness, he got the five arrows. So he broke Bhishma's promise. So Bhishma took a vow that said, either Krishna will show his bhaktavatsala quality in protecting Arjuna, or I'll kill Arjuna. So Krishna will break his vow. I take a vow. I'm going to make Krishna break his vow. Because I know he'll do this one before he'll maintain his vow. I won't fight. Because it's his quality. It's his natural, loving quality. This other one, it came earlier. We saw it in one image where Arjuna took a terrible vow that he would kill Jayadrath before the sun set the next day. Or he would enter into fire. So Krishna asked him, why did you take such a terrible vow? Because I know you're bhaktavatsala. And you would protect me. You'd make sure that I wouldn't have to die and enter into fire. Because Jayadrath deserves to be killed. So there's double assurance. I'll take the vow. I'll give up my life if Jayadratha isn't killed tomorrow. It's his nature. Now, the difficulty is not predicting his nature. The difficulty is becoming a qualified devotee. But it's certainly impetus to become a qualified devotee, even if it's like selfish. I want Krishna's protection. And it's just his nature. It's just like an affectionate parent. They don't have to be told to, you know, be protective of their dependents, their children. They're by nature like that. So it's in its perfection in Krishna. And so many nice examples from scripture. It's his nature. He's a worthy place of shelter. Nice. Important lesson in our day-to-day practical lives. We meet challenges and difficulties and obstacles and hardships and all those things. It's just part of life. Different for each of us, but we all meet them. Krishna is our protector. Things may not go well. It may continue to be cold for a long time. Who knows? And whatever else. The devotees that live in Texas, and they, the hurricane was coming, and you know, Houston got hit so hard. Some devotees, they lost everything, and there's no insurance. And what happened is that the devotee community came around and helped them rebuild everything that they lost. They didn't want to take it. I was advising them. You've given so much to the devotees. They want to reciprocate. Don't say no. And if you feel guilty about the reciprocating, then you continue to give more and more. And then the idea then is Krishna should be pleased. And there's loving exchanges amongst the devotees. So that Krishna will protect you doesn't mean when a hurricane comes along, you won't get any damage to your home. You don't need to worry about getting insurance. That's not the meaning. But the protection, ultimately the protection of our spiritual well-being is there. And through other methods, Krishna will see that you're yoga kshema vahamyam, whatever you need, it'll be there. Prabhupada told this story. There was an artificial famine created by the British by hoarding of grain. And the price of grain went way up, like 3 times, 4 times. People that were poor, they just couldn't afford it. They starved. They were dying. And so Prabhupada went to the local Gaudiya Math temple and said, "Do you need any help? Is everything okay? I can supply you some grains." And they said, "No, Krishna has supplied so many things. We have so much surplus, we're cooking and distributing prasad to people that don't have." And then Prabhupada said, "Then I could understand. They're not employed, but they're protected by Krishna. They're in Krishna's service. Krishna protects and takes care of his devotees." He's Bhakta Vatsala. Always. Very kind. We just have to become qualified devotees. That's the only gap. The gap is not on Krishna's side. So any discussion? Yes?
Thank you. This is a very beautiful section. Thank you.
Yes, it is. I like it.
At the beginning you made a distinction between the mercy of Parvatma and the mercy of Bhagavan.
It was interesting, huh?
Yeah. So I wanted to restate it just to make sure that I understood it correctly.
Okay.
So would it be accurate to say that the mercy of Parvatma is accessible to everyone in that Parvatma sanctions what desires.
Yes.
And then the difference versus the mercy of Bhagavan is that Bhagavan Krishna is that particularly flows through the devotees, and that mercy is particularly dealing with the living entity's desire to come closer to Krishna.
Yes, yes. But just add a little editing at the beginning part. It's not just reciprocates with the living entity's desires, but specifically the invitation to become a devotee is, that's it's facilitated by Paramatma. Now, just leave it at that. Like when, for example, when Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, I'll embellish that a little bit. It's Sri Bhagavan Vacha, but it's a certain aspect of Krishna that's speaking. Or it's something, again, something like when Krishna kills the demons. It's the feature of Vishnu that's killing the demons. It's not Swayam Bhagavan Krishna that's killing the demons, because there's no demons in the spiritual world. So it's an aspect of Krishna that's acting. So this invitation, similarly, the invitation to become a devotee, along with, you know, the reciprocating with the desires, whatever that might be, X, Y, Z. But the invitation, likewise, the invitation to become a devotee is the Paramatma function. And then the rest of what you said. The Bhagavan feature is very special. It's accessible for the devotees only. Not accessible for the meditators. But bhakti, one has to, the medium is service with love. Then the personal feature becomes accessible. One can know it through the medium of bhakti. Not just the medium of meditation. We discussed that same, that this little distinction, this one, not in the same way, but this morning, when Kapila Dev is giving his blessing to Kardama Muni to go to the forest and engage in meditation upon him, he says, "You'll see me within your heart, as I am within the heart of all living entities." But it's not the Paramatma feature. It's Kapila. It's an incarnation as a person. Bhagavan feature. Because he's a devotee. He's not just a meditator. He's a devotee that wanted the Lord as a son. He came as his son. So anyway. It's a little intricate in that as we approach Krishna, he reciprocates. So if we approach in it, same thing as what you were saying, you approach in the mood of devotion, then reciprocation of love according to the mood of devotion will be reciprocated with by Bhagavan through the medium and through the encouragement and nourishment of the bhaktas, the devotees. It's part of the entourage of Krishna. And we won't understand these things. You can't understand these things except through devotion. And even hearing it is like, huh? So it takes devotion. It takes a life of devotion to understand. Yeah.
Maharaj, a spiritual master is an external manifestation of Paramatma. So, by the mercy of the spiritual master, also we get the mercy of Krishna again, just
yes.
So that we can.
Yes.
Just like Prabhupada's mercy because of him.
Yes.
So many people.
Yes.
Devoted,
yes. So. Yes. And the goal is Bhagavan. I mean, to make that, just as long as we're making this distinction, The goal is Bhagavan. Prabhupada is inviting us to, as the whole line of Lord Chaitanya is inviting us into a loving relationship with Krishna and Vrindavan. Even the chanting of the holy name is to invite us into the loving relationship of Krishna and Vrindavan, which is very, very special. That's the gift. Okay, that covers. Mukund, do you have something else?
Just on the point of Bhakta Vatsala, we hear these examples. For example, you gave the example of the devotee in Houston who lost everything, but then the devotees came together to support them. And similarly, the example of Prabhupada going to the Gaudiya Math, and they already said where he got surplus supply. So these are positive external examples of Krishna showing his mercy.
Yes.
But is it not equally accurate that sometimes we may see something externally that seems very maybe
disastrous,
but that could also be Krishna's mercy. We just can't see.
Yes. I'll give one. Jiva Goswami gives a nice example, and the nice example he gives is Maharaj Pariksit. Sometimes, like with Prahlad, nothing bad happens. Sometimes, like with Maharaj Pariksit, he dies. And his comment is, he's showing that this opulence of his Krishna consciousness isn't compromised or disturbed at all. He's showing that opulence. Because the temporary is not what he's attached to. He's showing the opulence of it. He's attached to Krishna and he goes to Krishna. The part of the purpose of the curse is to take him back to Godhead in the state of complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. It's nicely orchestrated. Delightfully orchestrated. 7 days and seven, it's like a non-stop. No eating, no drinking, no resting. Just absorb. He's ready. I'm ready. Bring that snake bird on and ready to go. So it looks disastrous, but it's another type of protection. Spiritual protection. Premananda?
Maharaj, I came across a reference which said, in relation to this topic of bhakti, is the cause of bhakti. Chakravarti Pal explaining that, I think it is in Devu Bhagavatamrita somewhere, he came across a reference which said, the cause of Yayati's bhakti was really the cause of Ambariksha Maharaj's bhakti, because at the same time when Yayati was ruling the planet, Ambariksha Maharaj was also present. And so, it's not even like somebody was personally present next to that.
Very interesting. Can you find that reference for me? Search for it if you try to find it. Because in Chicago Temple, they're discussing this Yayati story. It's the section of the Bhagavatam they're covering. And he goes from, attached to totally unattached. And there's gotta be some bhakta association that brings him to that position. I was wondering. So I'm very interested.
Yeah, I came across this. I can't remember. I have to go back and search.
Okay, and you'll have a nice time going back to search.
Yeah,
so it's a fact.
No, I mean,
one need not have physical proximity, but just the presence in the world, just like Prabhupada being in the world. He didn't go everywhere. He went to lots of places. But his presence in the world created auspiciousness just by his presence. Okay, anything else? Yes?
Prahlad Maharaj, after taking the benediction that he would like to serve Narada, any references, how did he serve Narada and what happened after that?
There's not a lot of information about what happened after that. At least not that I'm aware of. There may be somewhere. Because in these purports and commentaries, we're hearing things that were exchanges between Kayadu and Narada, that there's not Bhagavatam references to, but it's comment, so it must be somewhere. But I'm unaware what happened after that. We know he became king and he ruled for a long time. We know he had a son and a grandson. But we don't hear too much. What else? You've got something else cooking over there. Because the father, who was the spiritual master of Hiranyakashipu, and then the spiritual master of Prahlad, Shukracharya, the spiritual master of Virochanda, the spiritual master of Bali, he's the spiritual master of the Daityas. He's the spiritual master of the Daityas who lives over generations. Yeah. Well, that's his guru, but you know, that's his spiritual guru, but there's the priest that performs all the functions, etc., etc., etc. That's what Shukracharya is doing for Bali. Like a Purohit, he's doing the ritual of whatever the ritual was that Bali was engaging him in.
He's like a Rajguru kind of.
Kind of like that. We don't have that information. I don't have that information. Narada was still around, but what interaction was there between the two? No indication. Why not?
If you surrender, then only mercy will come.
He's inviting. He's loving. He's inviting love. Why not? He shouldn't? He shouldn't, because to be neutral, he could just let, you know, kesara sara, whatever you like to do, you can do. He's loving. Like this one. He's inviting a person to become a devotee. Please take shelter. And then his representative spiritual master says, please take shelter of him. That's the function. You have something? I don't know how they do. other than what we find in, say, chapter 6 Bhagavad Gita. It's not, they're engaged in mantra meditation specifically, but there is this, a mechanical process that they follow. And you're ready for more kirtan, right? their attention isn't going specifically to mantra, but if they're doing it properly in any case, it's on the form of Vishnu, the form of super soul within the heart. That's where they draw their attention to. It's described in chapter 2 of canto 2 also, similarly, the process of meditation. I don't know more than what the scripture says in those two places about the process of meditation. And even in Kapila's Sankhya philosophy, he doesn't describe so much what that process of meditation is. He mentions it, but doesn't describe it. There's more detail in chapter 2, canto 2. We're all finished? Yes?
Another one question, not question, clarification. You know, Narada in his previous life, he very mentioned about Prahlad Maharaj's previous life, what he used in his previous life.
There's two mentions. I've been saying this, so I'll say it again. There's different yuga cycles. Yes? So there's different appearances of Hiranyakashipu and Lord Nrisimhadeva and Prahlad. Those are different yuga cycles. So in the Bhagavatam, 10th chapter, the one after this chapter, is specifically the Lord sent him from the spiritual world to teach the way of pure devotional service. And a second reference is Haribhakti Vilas. You familiar with that? Okay. It's a thick book. It's a how-to manual, how to perform rituals and the tantra, the how to worship the deity, how to observe Janmashtami, how to take sannyas, how to chant mantra, how to do everything. How-to manual. And one of the things it discusses is how to observe Ekadasi. You with me? So, in that reference of the glories of Ekadasi, the following story is narrated in Hari Bhakti Vilas. It speaks of Prahlad, who was he in his previous life? It starts with Prahlad asking Lord Nrisimhadeva, how is it that I got such mercy? Because, you know, I'm bad birth and da 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 da. Where did the good fortune come from? Lord Nrisimhadeva replies that in your previous life, you were a brahmana. But you were a negligent brahmana. You didn't study the scripture. You didn't follow a life of purity. In fact, you followed a life of sin. In fact, you were married, but you were cohabiting with a prostitute. And you became so attached to this prostitute that you were neglect. It's very like, very much like the Ajamila story. And then, on one occasion, there was a quarrel between you and the prostitute. And it happened to be Ekadasi day. So you observed Nirjala Ekadasi. Very strictly. You were up all night long. You couldn't sleep. Observing your Nirjala Ekadasi. And so that even unknowing, Ekadasi is so powerful. Even unknowingly you did this little service that entitled you to this all this mercy that you've gotten in this life. And then he goes on and says that the prostitute, similarly, she couldn't sleep. So she did Nirjala Ekadasi too. And she, in her next life, became an apsara. You become Prahlad. she's already gone back to Godhead and you'll go back to Godhead too. Because of your association with Narada and your devotional service. Apparently she got some good association in wherever she was. It's to illustrate the power of Akadasi. But he was a Brahmin in his previous life that got deviated, but observed Akadasi, got benefit. Now, Narada, Hari Bhakti Vilas makes reference to things from scripture. It's not just, you know, creative writing session by Sanatana Goswami. Which scripture that's from, I don't know. But it's quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Where's our...